reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Exodus. It's on page 76, and we read Exodus 17, beginning at verse 1. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is found in Paul's letter to the Romans, page 1206, and we read Romans 5, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this: and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1118. And we read John chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming. He is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where a woman and Jesus are having, if you will, a religious debate. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." This is our text. Health crazes come and health crazes go. Drink coffee, don't drink coffee. eat this food. Don't eat this food. Butter is good for you. Butter is bad for you. They come, they go, they're constantly changing. And nobody ever really gets that awful excited because nobody really knows for sure. But I remember at least one time in my life where it seemed like the whole world was about one health craze. And everybody wanted to participate. It's only a vague memory of mine, but back in 1960 or 61, I was 4 or 5 years old at the time. It seemed like everybody on my block was heading to this one school. When we got there, there was a huge line of families. And it seemed like it took at least an hour for us to even reach the front door. And when we got inside, and I think we were asked a bunch of questions, but I was too young. I can't remember what the questions were, even who answered, my mom or dad. And after all that waiting, we were given, it's like those little cups that you put mints in on the table. Nothing tremendous at all. And we drank it. It was kind of like sugar water. And I remember thinking to myself, what is all this fuss about? It was the cure for polio. And nobody complained about how long they had to wait. Nobody said, well, this is too simple or easy. It's got to be harder than this. And nobody said, well, you know, isn't there some other way that we could do this? It was the cure. It was the only thing that worked. And everybody celebrated it and everybody participated in it. And because of that one cure, at least in the Western Hemisphere, polio is virtually non-existent at this time. It was just a little bit of water. But it's amazing what that little bit of water could do. Baptism. It's just a little water. But it is a very special water when it's connected to God's word and God's command. It becomes, if you will, a living water. And a cure is something that the world is totally capable of curing. But if we are to live with God forever in heaven, it must be cured. And that human problem is sin. How many of you would like to take up a bet with me for, let's say, $1,000? Here's the bet. It shouldn't be too hard. All you have to do is not sin in thought, word, or deed for just 1 week. Anybody want to take me up on that bet? It's just a week. And how hard can that be? But you can't have any bad thoughts in that week. You can't have any bad words in that week. You can't do a single bad thing all week. Weren't any takers last night either. Now, here's the question, friends. If you can't do it for a week, how are you going to do it for eternity? See, there's the problem. Most of the world believes in some kind of eternity, some kind of wonderful life after this life. But how are we going to get there? If we can't get a grip on sin now in our lives, how are we supposed to do it later? And yet, when you look at all the religions in the world, somehow we're the ones that are supposed to solve the problem. We're the ones that are supposed to, of our own strength, our own resources, fight off the disease, if you will, and cure ourselves. That somehow if we're a little bit more good than we are bad, that's enough. That's not curing anything. And God knew that. We can't solve the problem. And that's why he sent Jesus. And while it was difficult and hard for him, it becomes simple and easy for us. Believe in the gift that he offers. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. And you will receive the gift of eternal life. That precious water becomes in you, if you will, in the words of Jesus, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But unlike the way the world seemed to love that cure for polio, the gift that God offers is not met with the same enthusiasm. Some complain that it's too easy. What? You just repent of your sins and tell God you're sorry, and no matter what you do, that's it? You're forgiven? Not hard enough. And some people, kind of like this woman at the well, have a hard time believing that's the only way. Surely there's got to be some other way we can do this. And yet the world has been trying for years. And there's never been another real solution that is found. You know, one of the most unique things about our Christian faith is not only the fact that God's gift of forgiveness and grace is free, but the person of Christ, his resurrection story, the fact that he goes to the cross and dies and comes back alive, conquering death, and appearing not just to a few witnesses. On one occasion, Scripture records, he appeared to 500 at one time. You know, there is no other religion in the world that has a resurrected Savior, where he comes not back, not just in somebody's dreams, not in some kind of vision, but he comes back real and alive. And death is conquered. Nobody else has done that but him. And while the world has tried and tried, not one of us can conquer sin on our own. That is why it must be a free gift. And that is why it can come only through that one person, a Jew, who worshiped the Father that was revealed to Israel, not another people. Yes, the worship at Israel in Jerusalem is over with. What it foreshadowed was the work of Christ. Now we focus on Christ himself. But it is him, in him alone, where we find the way, the truth, and life. May God grant that we always rejoice in the simplicity of that gift God has given, in that precious and yet so simple water, in which he declares to us that our sins are forgiven and we have life eternal. But we live in a world that continues to rebel against the simplicity of all, to reject the idea that it can only be one way. And let us remind them that though they try with all their might, that they, like the rest of the world, are never going to get that grip on a sin that we chase after. That in Christ alone we can find the way. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.